This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, fourth chapter, text 3. Sa evayam maya tedya yoga proktaha puratanaha bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. Anyone else? Sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. Ladies? Okay. Saha, the same. Eva, certainly. Ayam, this. Maya, by me. Me, te, unto you. Adya, today. Yoga, the science of yoga. Proktaha, spoken. Puratanaha, very old. Bhaktaha, devotee. Asi, you are. Me, my. Sakha, friend. Cha, also. Iti, therefore. Rahasyam, mystery. He, certainly. Etat, this. Uttamam, transcendental. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Purport. There are two classes of men, namely the devotee and the demon. The Lord selected Arjuna as the recipient of this great science, owing to his being a devotee of the Lord. But for the demon, it is not possible to understand this great mysterious science. There are a number of commentaries, a number of editions of this great book of knowledge, Some of them have commentaries by the devotees, and some of them have commentaries by the demons. Commentation by the devotees is real, whereas that of the demons is useless. Arjuna accepts Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and any commentary on the Gita following in the footsteps of Arjuna is real devotional service to the cause of this great science. The demonic, however, do not accept Lord Krishna as he is. Instead, they concoct something about Krishna and mislead general readers from the path of Krishna's instructions. Here is a warning about such misleading paths. One should try to follow the disciplic succession from Arjuna and thus be benefited by this great science of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Om Jnana Tinirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Shabrashatam Shahagana Raganatam Pitam Stam Sadivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Vadita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra Hey Krishna Purana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayvacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vaishnavi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is good. Maybe there's a glass someplace.
Saevayam mayate dya yoga prokta puratanaha Bhaktosi ne sakha cheti rahasyam jetad uttama. This very ancient science. In the previous verse, Krishna has said that this science of Krishna consciousness was taught in the system of being received from person to person, from teacher to student, and from the student to the next student. The person who is now the student becomes the next teacher. That's called parampara. Disciplic succession. evam parampra praptam imam rajarshi obhidhan. So Krishna says, I taught this system of yoga. Yoga prokta puratana. It's a very old system. Or you can say eternal. It's since time immemorial, this system of bhakti yoga has been in existence. And our Krishna taught it to the sun god millions of years ago, Vibhishana. And Krishna says, now I'm going to teach you the same thing. Krishna doesn't say, I'm going to invent something new. That was for the old days. Now let me give you a different thing. The same thing. The same science of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is again going to teach. Yoga prokta puratana. The same thing that I told the sun god, again I'm going to tell you. It was coming from Vibhishan to his son Manu, from Manu to his son Ikshaku, evam parampra. It was coming down, master to disciple, master to disciple, master to disciple. But at some point, it got broken. The line got broken, stopped. And when the line is stopped or broken, then the science gets lost. Yoga nashta. The yoga science becomes lost. Mahata, kaleneha mahata. Over a long time, it was lost. Because it has to be transmitted through this guru-shishya parampara, this line of teaching from master to disciple, master to disciple, master to disciple. Just like Krishna told Brahma, Brahma told Narada, Narada told Vyas, from Vyas, Madhvacharya, then it comes down, gradually, gradually, Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, six Goswamis, then it comes down, Warkishordas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then it keeps going. And this Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was there. Some of you took initiation from him. Some may have taken initiation from someone else. And then you have to become the next. Not that it stops with your Guru Maharaj, but it has to go. You have to take the same thing and tell the next people. The person who's the student becomes the next teacher. What are the qualifications? He has to have heard nicely. Shrotriyam. You have to hear, we have to hear nicely and speak the same thing. No adding, no subtracting, no changing. The same philosophy, no improvement necessary. As it is, Krishna says me, we say Krishna. Krishna says surrender to me, we say surrender to Krishna. As it is, no change. We don't have to be great scholars. That's not the qualification. Krishna could have spoken this Bhagavad Gita to a big sage like Vyasadeva, or to sannyasi, to Brahmin at least, but he didn't. Arjuna was not a sannyasi, he was a householder. He was not a Brahmin, he was a Kshatriya. But Krishna said, I'm speaking to you. I've selected you. Why? Because he's a devotee. Bhaktosi. Because you're my devotee. Me sakha cheti. And you're my friend. So I'll speak to you this science. Rahasyam. Rahasya means confidential secret. Something confidential. Confidential means not everyone will appreciate. Not everyone will, yes. Not everyone will appreciate. But I'm speaking to you because you're my devotee, you're my friend, so you'll be able to understand the secret. Something is a secret. If you don't know the key, you can't understand it anyway. I can speak it in public and no one will know what it means. It's put in code. No? Or even it may be right out there in the open, and still you need the right person to understand it. Just like there may be an open message and everyone just sees some ordinary message, but a person who's trained, he sees, oh, this is a message from, you know, the Revolutionary Party. The revolutionaries are giving some message. But the ordinary person doesn't understand it. But the person who it's meant for, he sees, oh, there's a message here. We have to gather. We have to do something. They start a revolution that way. It looks like it's an ordinary message. But the person who understands it knows, oh, this is, now's the time. We have to act. Huh? Follow? So for the ordinary materialistic person, this message will not be available. He can read it. To some extent, he'll understand it on the surface. But he'll not get the deep meaning. Deep meaning is secret. It's an open secret. Anyone can understand it, but he has to become a devotee. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hyetad uttama. It's a very high secret, exalted secret. But the devotee will understand. Bhaktya mam avijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvata. If a person becomes a Hare Krishna devotee, then he can understand what Krishna is. If he doesn't become a devotee of Krishna, he'll not understand. Krishna's saying, aham adirhi devanam, I'm the origin of all the devas. Aham sarvasya prabhu, I'm the origin of everything. Mata sarvam pravartate, everything's coming from me. But the person who doesn't understand Krishna will think, oh, Krishna is the Hindu god, or Krishna is a myth, or Krishna is one of many, many gods. Without becoming a devotee of Krishna, it's very difficult to understand Krishna. So we should hear about Krishna from a devotee of Krishna. Krishna is speaking this science again to make it available. But who will understand it? The devotee will understand it. Arjuna will understand it. And then by following in the footsteps of Arjuna, we can understand. Because there are two things. One is hearing, and the other thing is having Ramanishta, faith in what Krishna says. And what's the sign that we have faith in what Krishna says? We'll do what Krishna said. Kodashye vachanam tava. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asked Arjuna, is your illusion now gone? Do you now understand? And Arjuna said, yes. Nashta moha smitir labdha. Tvat prasada amaya. Yes, now my illusion is gone. I was thinking I'm this body. I'm thinking this is my grandfather, these are my cousins, this is my brother, this is that. I was thinking in terms of this body. But I'm not this body. I'm spirit soul. Soul is the same in all the bodies. Nitya shashvatoya. It's eternal. It can't be cut, it can't be burned, it can't be dried away, it can't be affected by weapons. It has no birth and death. That's who I really am. I'm the soul within the body, but I'm falsely identifying. I'm this body, and therefore this is my family, this is my country, this is my this is my that. This is all temporary, this is all illusory. So I have to understand that I'm not this body, and then I have to act on that understanding. I have to understand that I'm part of Krishna, and therefore I have to act in service to Krishna. The hand has to, if the hand understands what it is, then it serves the whole body. The hand takes the food and it can't keep it in the palm and enjoy, right? It has to take the food and put it in the mouth so that it goes to the stomach, and from the stomach it will be distributed to the whole body. So if I'm part of Krishna, then I should serve Krishna. And then the service will be distributed everywhere to everyone, including I'll get the benefit. Like hand puts the food in the stomach, hand also gets strength. We'll get strength, we'll get happiness, we'll get everything when we serve Krishna. And if we want to be independent of Krishna, then we'll be like the hand that doesn't serve the body. It just gets weak and useless. So at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said, yes, now I'm willing to do what you say. I'm free from illusion. I know that I'm spirit soul. I know that I'm your servant. Well, now I'll do what you tell me. Simple. That's called brahmanishtha. To be willing to follow Krishna's instructions. To understand the instruction, then you can teach also. Our teacher teaches us how to engage in the service of Krishna, how to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Then you teach the same thing to others by speaking the same thing and by your practical example. Then you become the next teacher. Then your students follow you, they become the next. And it goes down from generation to generation to generation. This is the way to receive the science. But there are so many commentators, they've written books about Bhagavad Gita, and they're not they're not coming in this line of parampara. Maybe they're scholars, maybe they're this, maybe they're that, or maybe they're coming in some parampara line, but they're not devotees of Krishna. They're not devotees of Krishna. So they comment in some other way. Krishna represents some impersonal thing, or Krishna is this or that, according to their own idea or the idea that they've received from someone else who's not a devotee of Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is meant for the devotees of Krishna, and that's why Krishna is saying, I'm speaking it to you. Not to a great sage, not to a great Brahmin, not to a great sannyasi, but to you because you're my devotee. Rahasyam yetarutama. Therefore you'll understand it. So this is practical, and we see it working in our Krishna consciousness movement. We're hearing from authoritative sources, and when we follow, then we become Krishna conscious. And the sign of being Krishna conscious is that we act for Krishna. Act for Krishna means you have some energy, you have some talent, you have some intelligence, you have some money, you have some something. Everyone has something. We have our words. So Krishna consciousness means use everything as far as we can. Use everything, or start to use everything in connection with Krishna. If you don't make a start, you never get to the finish. I may not be able to do everything, but let me start. I can chant Hare Krishna and dance in the kirtan. That's not very difficult. I can take Krishna prasadam. That's not very difficult. I can read a little something. If we're educated, we can read a little something every day from these books. We can follow these principles, which will help us. We can start accepting whatever will help me in Krishna consciousness, let me accept. Whatever will hold me back, let me reject. Just like gambling, it doesn't help me in Krishna consciousness. Intoxicants, we're already intoxicated. This doesn't help me. Animal killing, meat eating, this is not going to help me. And illicit sex, this is another distraction. So by following these four principles in our lives, and by regularly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, we can achieve all success. All right, thank you very much. All glories to Sri Krishna. Is there any question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. June. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna just once.
Yes.
And he understood. Well, we have Bhagavad Gita several years.
Yeah, because Arjuna was a great person. He was coming just at the beginning of Kali Yuga, not so far into it. He was coming from a great family of devotees, a very cultured person. So he was highly qualified, very pious. So he could, and he was Krishna's friend above all. So he could understand by hearing once. So we're not of the same stature as Arjuna. We have to hear again and again. But the hope will be that at least by hearing again and again, we'll understand what Arjuna only needed to hear once. Hearing again and again is good. The teacher teaches us whatever it is, arithmetic or spelling or whatever, and then teaches it again. And then you come to class again the next day or a few days later, again hearing the same thing. So by hearing again and again, gradually it becomes, we get it. So we shouldn't be disappointed that we're not on the same level as Arjuna. Let us hear it and follow as far as Krishna allows, and we'll get more understanding. The understanding comes not just by intellectual ability or simply by studying. It comes by Krishna's grace. And how do we get Krishna's grace? By serving Krishna and Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. Is that all right? Another question, yes.
And it is said that one cannot understand Krishna if one is not a devotee.
One can learn or can't learn?
Cannot understand Krishna.
He can't understand Krishna without becoming a devotee. Yes. Yes.
So what is the possibility of our preaching?
You're giving them the opportunity to do some devotional service. You're asking them, please chant Hare Krishna. So if they chant Hare Krishna even once, they're beginning their devotional service. You're asking them, please take honor some prasadam. That's also counted as devotional service. You're asking them, please take a book. Please give a little contribution for the book. And this is also devotional service. One of my godbrothers, when he gives a book to people, he asks for a contribution, and then he explains that it's not business, but by giving a contribution that helps you understand the book. And it's true. Because they've done some devotional service, they've shown some interest in the book, they've given a contribution, it helps them understand. At least they'll think, well, I paid for it, let me look at it. And then, because they've done something, they've given something for Krishna's service, it will help them understand. And your good wishes help them understand. People understand the science of Krishna by the good wishes of a devotee, by the blessings of the devotee. So you're desiring that this person should understand something about Krishna. So your desire helps him, benefits him. Something else? Yes. Wait a second, we're waiting for the baby to be taken away to another place. Krishna spoke to the sun god, yes. Yes. Can you know the teachings of Krishna to the sun god? Yes, just read this Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna says, I'm telling you the same thing. Just like if I tell him something, and then I tell you, and I say, I'm going to tell you the same thing. So now, do you know what I told him? I've told him something secretly. Now I say, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Do you know what I told him? Huh? Yes or no? Who says no?
Yes. I don't know what to tell him.
Yes.
You do know what I told him. Because I'm telling you, and what I tell you, I said, that's the same thing I told him. So I don't have to separately tell you what I told you. I've already told you now. You have a brother. You tell him a secret. You have another brother. You say, I'm going to tell you the same secret I told the first brother. Now, does the second brother know what you told the first brother after you explain? He does, right? Yes? Or there's a class. And in the class, the teacher says, I'm going to teach you all about writing. Then there's another class the next year. And the teacher says, I'm going to teach you everything I taught the previous class. Now after hearing from the teacher everything in that second class, does the second class know what the first class learned? Yeah. They know the same thing, because I'm teaching you the same thing I taught the other class. So if you want to know what Krishna told the sun god, just see what he told to Arjuna. Because Krishna says, I'm teaching you the same thing. Is that all right? Knowing Krishna what?
Consciousness is apparent in everything, including energy.
Yeah.
Money.
No, I didn't say that if you get Krishna consciousness, you'll get money. For that, you have to go around the corner to the Christian preachers, and they'll tell you that you come to our church and sing, and you'll get money also.
They want you to join them. They say, oh, you take our religion, you'll get money. You know, if you're sick, you'll get well. If you're poor, you'll get money. So we're not going to cheat you that way. That you come, you chant Hare Krishna, and you'll get money. Maybe you'll lose your money. Or maybe you'll stay with the same amount of money. Or maybe you'll get more money, I don't know. But whatever you have, you'll be happy. The person who's not Krishna conscious, even if he gets all the money in the world, he'll not be happy. He'll want more. He'll want more. He'll say, I'm not satisfied. And the Krishna conscious person, even if he has very little, he'll be happy. There was one devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was living in a little hut, and even the roof was bad. It was leaking. He was a very poor man. He was making a living by taking the skin of the banana tree and making little cups out of that skin. And he was selling that and selling some vegetables. And that's how he was making his living. And half of what he was making, he was giving also for charity, for devotional service. That means he didn't have very much money at all. But he was happy. He wasn't disturbed. Where's money? Where's money? I have no money. How can I be happy? He was chanting Hare Krishna. He was happy. That's our promise. Not that you'll get money. Your pocket will be full. No, we're not going to cheat you then. It may even be a curse that you follow our path and you'll get money. Then you get money and you become a nonsense rascal. That typically happens. Someone doesn't have money, then he gets so much money, then he becomes a big fool. Then now I have so much money, I'm a big man. Everybody has to, if they want anything, they have to come to me. If I like them, I'll give them some money. And anything I want, I'll get. If I want a new car, I'll buy a new car. If I want some machine, I'll get the machine. If I want a woman, I'll get the woman. Whatever I want, I'll get. And he becomes 100 times more foolish than when he had no money. So it can be a curse also. You take up our path and you'll get money and be a fool. Why should we do that to you? We're not giving that. We're giving chant Hare Krishna and your life will be successful. Successful doesn't mean money. Because your money, even if you get so much money, it will be taken away at the time of death. It won't save you at the time of death. Now I'll go to the spiritual world because just see how much money I have. Instead, the money like becomes like an anchor that holds you in the material world. You could go to the spiritual world, but you won't let go of the anchor. So you remain stuck. You know about the story about the wedding party?
Yes.
Well, some of you know. It's a very good story. There was a wedding party. I don't know about here in Africa, but in India, when there's a wedding, then the party of the groom, the man to be married, goes to the place where the bride is. And there everything will go on. Either they'll hold the ceremony there or bring the bride back. Then finally she comes to the husband's home. So there was a big group. The bridegroom and his friends, they're going to the place of the bride for the wedding. But they have to get across the river to get there. So they tell the boatman that now it's becoming like the end of the day, and we have to be there by the morning, so we'll pay you nicely, but you get us there. So the boatman agreed, don't worry, I'll get you all there. You just relax. So
the boatmen began rowing, and the party went to sleep in the boat. Then the next morning they woke up and they looked around and they saw they're in the same place. So then it became a big, you know, shouting and everything. Hey, you told us you were going to get us to the wedding and now we're still in the same place. What kind of person are you? It became a big, you know, maybe they're ready to punch the boatman, you know, it's a big thing. Because we had to get there and now we're still here. What's going on? And the boatman said, hey, I've just been rowing all night. You know, why are you, I don't know, I've been rowing and rowing. Well, then someone looked, he saw that in the water, the anchor was still there. So the boatman had been rowing, 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 and the boat had been going nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. Because the anchor is still there. Well, the anchor is our material attachments. As long as I'm thinking, this is my money, this is my this, this is my this, and I'll enjoy having all of these things, that will make me happy, all these material things. Then the anchor is in the water. And whatever we do, we won't make any progress. So we're not going to tell you, oh, you have an anchor in the water, we'll give you another anchor. So you can have two anchors in the water. Or we'll give you a bigger anchor that will make your life better. While you're only having a small anchor, we'll give you a big anchor. No. We'll teach you how to pull the anchor out so that your rowing will be successful and you'll get to the destination, back to Krishna. Is that okay? Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, you were explaining very nicely the process of Krishna consciousness as Sanatana Dharma. It is not a sectarian. It is not a sectarian process.
No.
Now, I have this question to ask in regards to that. Sometimes, devotees try to explain other processes.
Let's try to explain.
Processes of spirituality. For instance, the Christian process of Ramadan, we try to explain it as the alternative to this process of Christian consciousness. You know, that is by saying, okay, you can't practice this process, go to church, at least you're considered to be doing something. This is why I don't know how right the devotees are. To what extent are they right to explain this situation to the people like this?
Well, sometimes we try to explain things in terms of Christianity. And sometimes we tell people, well, if you can't do this, then at least go to the church. So you want to know what about that, huh? Yes. First thing is that we may not be very expert about Christianity. Our book is Bhagavad Gita. You have your Bible, you have your Christian preachers, that's all right. But we're trying to give something more in the form of Bhagavad Gita. So that's our text. We should know Bhagavad Gita very nicely so that we can tell people so much from the Bhagavad Gita. Now sometimes if we know a little something from the Bible, then we can also say, yes, this chanting of God's name is there in your Bible also. This non-violent way of life, no animal killing, that's also there in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. So we're not very expert in the Bible, but we may say a little bit, just because the person has faith in the Bible, so we say, all right, this is also there in your Bible. Because it's the same science, the science of knowing God. So something is there in the Bible, something is there in the Quran. So in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find the same message of love of God, the same message of devotional service to God, but you'll find it with more detail. Just as in the little dictionary you find the word, in the big dictionary you find the word, but in the little dictionary, little short definition, big dictionary, more information. So it doesn't mean the little dictionary is wrong, big dictionary is right, but you get more information. In the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, we're getting more information. What is God's form? In the Bible, we understand it. God was walking, God is speaking, God is seen. So he must have form, he must be a person. He's a person. But what kind of person? That you read more in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not contradictory, but it's giving more. Then as far as, all right, if you don't do this, then go to your church, that's all right, you do something. And we're not trying to stop people, don't go to the church. You go to the church, that's fine. You sing your hymns, you do whatever. But you adopt this, take advantage of this knowledge. It's not that because you're going to church, you can't, you have to eat animal flesh. You can go to the church and you can be vegetarian. It's not that because you're going to the church, you have to gamble. It's not that because you're going to the church, you have to take alcohol or cigarettes. It's not that because, even the preacher will say, it's not that you come to church and you have sex with anyone and everyone. So these are real religious principles. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. This is not for Hindus or only for Jews or only for Muslims or only for Christians. It's for everyone. It's for human beings. If we want to be spiritually advanced human beings, or spiritually civilized human beings, then this is the prerequisite. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. And chant the holy name of God. If you don't want to chant Krishna, you chant some other name, God's name. That's all right. Otherwise, take advantage of this chanting of Hare Krishna, and if you're serious about God consciousness, then here's information in our Bhagavad Gita. You read your Bible also, that's fine. But take advantage of these books. Learn more about God. Prabhupada said, you'll be a better Christian. You'll be a better Muslim, better whatever. Take advantage of this. It's not that we want to convert you from Christian to Hindu or Muslim to Hindu. You take advantage of this knowledge of Krishna, science of Krishna, and you'll be more advanced in your spiritual life. Is that okay? Yes? Sometimes it's difficult to work as a team. Then work by yourself. Huh? If it's hard to work as a team, work by yourself. Do something. Now, it's hard to work as a team, so I'm going to go to sleep. But then, teamwork will also help us. Two men will get work more, what do they say? Many hands makes light work. Many hands make light work. So if we can work as in teams, we'll accomplish more. And by working in teams also we develop fellowship, friendship with devotees. How do I become someone's friend? Just by saying, hi, I'd like to be your friend. Maybe that's something. But really we become friends when we work together. When we work together, then even in business, people work in the office, they become some kind of friend. But when they're working with dedication, And especially if they're working on some project, very important project, and they have to work together, they become friends. So this is a good way to develop friendly relationships, work with devotees, and that means make some sacrifice. Sometimes he wants to go this way, I want to go that way. So then somebody has to give a little, or we both have to give a little. And that's human life. In marriage also, sometimes one party has to give a little, the other party has to give a little. In any human dealings, a little flexibility and a little humility, all right, I don't have to be, you know, not that everything has to go my way all the time. It can go his way. I'm just, because I'm a servant, I'm not the boss. If everyone wants to be the boss, then you get the Nigerian government. Everyone wants to be the boss. And they'll fight over being the boss. Why Nigeria? Everywhere. American government, this one. Everyone wants to be the boss and no one wants to be the servant. Then how will it work? In any group, everyone wants to be the boss. How will it work? The best thing is Krishna is the boss, everyone else is the servant. And with that mentality of servant, we can work together. And better than servant? Servant of the servant. Servant of the servant. So when we cultivate that mentality, then we can work in teams. And even if the person I want to work with, he doesn't have such a service mood, all right, if I have a service mood, he may pick it up from me. Otherwise, if he has a service mood, I'll pick it up from him. If we both have a service mood, we'll both pick it up from one another. We'll enrich our service attitude. Is that okay? Keeping Krishna in the center. When you throw a rock in a pool, what happens? Make circles, right? The circles start coming like that. You throw another rock, what happens? More circles, right? But you threw them in two different places, what happens? Circles start banging into one another, right? They start clashing. But suppose you throw the two rocks in one place. You simply get the same circles. Three rocks, 10 rocks. You throw them all in the same point, you get the same harmonious circles. So keep Krishna in the center and you can work together. If we put ourselves in the center, there'll be clash. Keep Krishna always in the forefront, then it's nice. Is that okay? Yes?
Last question.
In respect of the bad mood and information, and the bad mention of the Quran, and also the literature, does it mean that the literature come through one source?
The literature may not all come through one source, Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita. That's all.
One source.
The original source is one. Originally it comes from God. Bible.
Literature of
Quran.
Bhagavad Gita.
They
come through one source.
They come from one source through different channels. Just like you turn on one tap, you're getting water. You turn on another tap, you're getting water from a different source, but it's all coming from the rain. So everything, spiritual knowledge, is originally coming from God. But something is given in one place through one, just like Prophet Muhammad. He's preaching in Saudi Arabia at a certain time to certain people. Jesus Christ is teaching in Palestine at a different time to different people. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna at a different time. So the knowledge spoken in Bhagavad Gita is very advanced, because Arjuna is a very advanced person, spiritually advanced. He belonged to the Aryan culture. Their whole culture was spiritual culture. And so you find very advanced spiritual knowledge. Other places, it may be advanced to a greater or lesser extent, according to the time, the place, the people. But in any case, it's originally coming from God, meant for giving the same conclusion, to develop God consciousness. Why is that there's more discipline in Krishna consciousness? It's not there.
What I mean by discipline, you don't live easy life.
You don't live easy life. Did Jesus Christ teach live an easy life? No. Quran also, Prophet Muhammad, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. He's putting restrictions. Do this 7 times a day. You have to bow down. Do this. Don't do this. He wasn't making people's life easier. He was making it more disciplined. Jesus Christ didn't say, you go do whatever you want. Go out and drink. Go out and smoke. Go out and gamble. Go out and find, whatever girl you like for tonight and enjoy. They're not teaching these things. They're teaching discipline. They're teaching discipline. Anyone who wants to make spiritual advancement has to follow some discipline. It's not that this is only in Bhagavad Gita, anywhere. Spiritual knowledge means you have to follow some discipline. If we don't follow, if we won't follow discipline, we won't make progress. But discipline is easy. Chant Hare Krishna, dance, take prasada. This is not very difficult discipline. And follow some rules. It's necessary. Okay.
Sorry, Master. Why is it that people find it difficult?
Why is it that people find it difficult?
Difficult to worship.
Why do they find it difficult?
Worship in a Christian organization.
To do what?
They find it, people find it easy.
Some people find it easy, some people find it difficult.
They find it easy to worship in a Christian organization, but they find it difficult to worship in Krishna.
They find it easy to work in some other organization, but difficult to worship in the Krishna temple?
Yes.
Why? I don't know why. Is it very difficult to come here and chant Hare Krishna and dance? What do you think? Is it difficult?
Sometimes the people, they think so many things.
That makes it difficult. You think so many things. You think so much rubbish. Then it becomes difficult. But come here and chant Hare Krishna, then your thinking will be purified. And then it will be easy. Is that okay? Okay, shall we? Yes?
I'm with the Queen Krishna, Christ and Krishna. Then I've read a book written by Ramon.
Christ and Krishna, there's a book, okay.
So there are so many similarities between Christ, compared to between Christ and Krishna.
Uh-huh.
So it's Christ, Krishna, Krishna, Christ. Christ, Krishna. I'm not like him, Bishop. There are so many similarities about Krishna and Christ. You don't get it. They're almost the same. So I'm saying this, that Christ is the incarnation of Krishna.
Christ is incarnated. Yeah, simple thing. Who does Christ say he is? Son of God. And who does Krishna say he is? Okay, so what's the relationship between Jesus and Krishna? Father and Son. It's not hard to understand. Jesus says, I'm the Son of God. Worship my Father. Serve my Father. And Krishna says, I'm God. Serve me. Same thing, no?
Master, the following the last question he just asked now, when Jesus Christ was teaching on earth, but I don't know if there is a place he made mention of.
You don't know if there's a place when Jesus Christ was on earth where he mentioned Krishna. He mentioned Krishna the whole time. Krishna means God, that's all. So he's always mentioning Krishna. Krishna means, what is Krishna? Krishna means the most wealthy person.
Huh? Most
wealthy. He has the greatest, he owns more than anyone. He's the owner of everything. He's the most beautiful. He's the most wise. He's the most strong. He's the most renowned. He's the most detached. Did Jesus ever mention such a person? Yes, in the whole Bible. The God who's all powerful, all great. But Jesus is the whole mission. Was to teach about God. And who is Krishna? Krishna is God. Krishna means God, that's all. And God means Krishna.
Yeah. Why is it people like that? I mean,
why
is it that people take in certain areas in the Bible, they say God of Israel.
Because the people of why is they say God of Israel? Because the people of Israel were worshiping God. Usually you find in the Bible their neighbors were worshiping so many different gods, but not the Supreme God. So Israel people were supposed to be worshippers of the Supreme God. So Krishna is that Supreme God.
They condemn in Christendom. They condemn image.
Yeah, we also condemn image. We say, don't imagine something. Don't imagine that God is an old man. Don't imagine this or that. You take your description of God from the scriptures. Then you're not imagining. Why are we worshipped? To save you from imagination. So you don't have to imagine God is like this, God is like that, God is a golden calf, God is a something else. So we're presenting the authorized form of God to save you from some concocted form of God. If people have, you know, post boxes that are imaginary, I just make a box and I say, this is a post office box. And someone else does, no, this is my box, is the post office. So then finally the government says, all right, enough of this. We're putting a post office box here. Now finished. No one has to, there's no speculation. This is the box. This is the government authorized box. You put your letter there, it goes. So this is the authorized form mentioned in Scripture, but no imagination. No imagining that God has no form. That's also imagination. Yes?
All right, so in the Bhagavad
is suffering? What is the best remedy?
Someone's pushed by someone.
If someone, a distressed person, approaches a devotee of Krishna, then what is the best remedy or what is the best recommendation?
Our remedy for the person who's in distress, what is the best thing? Our remedy is chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That will solve all your problems. That will cure birth and death. What problem do you have greater than that? You solve some other problem, then you have a second problem. You solve your second problem, you have a third problem. You solve your third problem, you have a fourth problem. But if you get free from birth and death, you have no problems. Their method is the goldsmith's hammer. You know how the goldsmith beats the gold? He has a little hammer, right? Tick, 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 tick. And you know how the blacksmith has his hammer? Oh! So we're following the blacksmith's method. Boom! We don't have to tick, 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 solve this problem, solve that problem, that problem. One shot, you solve all problems. You'll solve your birth and death problem, your Maya problem. My problems are due to forgetting Krishna. When I solve that problem, all my problems are solved. I may have no money, but if I chant Hare Krishna, I'll revive my relationship with Krishna, I'll be happy. I have bad health. So you may give me good health, now I have good health, I can do all nonsense. No. Your health may stay good, stay bad, or it may get good, but if you chant Hare Krishna, in any situation, you'll be happy, and you'll make spiritual progress.
Right, technically speaking, there is aspects of the Vedas that goes into astrology, palm reading, so many things that devotees can do to assist people. Don't you recommend that, Maharaj?
I was on the train, and the one girl asked me, can you read palms? I said, let me see your palm. So I looked at her palm. I see from your palm that if you chant Hare Krishna, your life will be sublime. So if you want to read palms to help people, you can read them. Everyone's palm says that. If you want to be a palm reader and always be right, you can read every palm, everyone's palm. They all say the same thing. You chant Hare Krishna, your life will be right. And the stars also say the same thing. Your palm means your destiny. If you chant Hare Krishna, your destiny will be great. Otherwise, you're destined to suffer in this material world. Simple. I missed the beginning. Something about the benefits of spiritual life so that people appreciate what we are.
There's so much about discipline and everything looks so rigid. But if perhaps you tell us the benefit of spiritual life.
Yeah, tell them the benefit. You chant Hare Krishna, you dance, very easy discipline, and you get free from material trouble. What is difficult? It's nice only.
What is the other experience on the other side? The experience on the other side.
Experience of the other side means after death?
Yes.
Well, that you'll find out when you get there. You read Srimad Bhagavatam and you'll find out what is spiritual life in the spiritual world. Otherwise, life in the material world, you already have your experience and you can see all around you in different species of life. Everyone is suffering, highest to the lowest. Everyone is going through birth and death, disease and old age. So that you can see. So that's awaiting us in the next life also. But if we go back to Krishna, birth and death finished. Then you get spiritual activities which you can read about in Srimad Bhagavatam. Are we getting a little late, Maharaj? Tell me what to do. You should stop now. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Samaveta Bhakti.